So you like my bell bottoms is what you're saying.
Your bell bottoms are ringing the bells. Like as you walk,
ding,
it's like,
ding, ding, dong. Ding, 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 ding. I had this lady in the supermarket say, oh my gosh, bell bottoms are back in style. And I was like, have no idea, but they are part of my style. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, I love them. I'm going to use that. And I was like, yeah, use that because fashion is cyclical.
Well, out of style.
And in style, out of style, you know, it's just fucking me. And like, I hope when I'm in my 80s, I hope I am still flossing and I've got some drip and I hope I still have that.
You got some drip in your Depends.
I'm not that kind of drip.
That's a nice drip.
I'm like, I'm copping the drip. Mm-hmm. In Depends.
Got the Depends drip.
Welcome to our podcast. My co-host and partner is expansion coach Mikey Starr.
And she's healthy lifestyle coach Zuri Starr. And together we make
The Empowerment Couple. We are the founders of the Omnimedia organic lifestyle company, I Am Zuri, and we've teamed up to bring you a healthy lifestyle podcast.
Each week, we show up to serve love with a special topic, guest, or hack to empower your life. Our goal is to educate, entertain, and empower you.
Walk with us as we chart a course to living your most beautiful life.
Your most beautiful life.
Never do that again.
So what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about breaking down and breaking through, homie.
Breaking down and breaking through. So are we talking about like, you know, like cars breaking down?
No.
Good old fashioned.
We're talking
Hollywood
about
breakdown.
our earthly body car, you know.
Ooh, yeah. Nice switch, Zuri.
We're talking about like how, you know,
our body vessel.
We naturally have to constantly adopt a like lobster mentality where we are getting rid of our shell because we've outgrown it. And then we are growing into our new shell or growing our shell so that we can be a new version of ourselves. Mm-hmm. But we are following this week's episode with last week's episode, if you didn't listen, about Mikey's tragic moment.
No, I had a tragic moment.
About shadow work. And this week is all about breaking down to break through.
It actually was a terrific moment.
It was a terrific moment.
It was tragically terrific.
Because you transmuted it.
Correct.
And that's the thing with breaking down is that you really only get to a breakthrough if you learn something or you have, it could be something as small as like you have more clarity, you have more, you know, self-awareness, you have, maybe you have a better relationship because I was just talking to my girlfriend about, she's very mad that I don't vent because she feels like she can't be close to me. Unless I am venting. And oftentimes the first person that's around me is Mike, or I will write a song about it, or I will meditate, or I'll do something that transmutes it. And by the time that I would need to vent, I haven't picked up the phone. It's not my, it's not part of my identity. Mm-hmm. And here's what I figured out. This is my breakdown to breakthrough. Okay.
I'm listening. I got my notes. Here we go.
So there is a part of me that doesn't want to break down because, you know, in way of venting, because I have a lot of one-sided relationships that rely on me being the strong and healthy person. Like that's my identity, is to be the strong and healthy person, so that other people can depend on me and that my wound is never really as big as someone else's. And that has created a perfectionist tendency. And that, you know, I'm hugging my little shadow perfectionist inside. Like, okay, I see that that's, I don't feel good when I vent. I don't feel good when I vent to you, to a best friend. Like, I always feel, like, wow, that was kind of a waste of time. I could have used it because in my purpose, I'm like, I want to serve love. I don't want to serve suffering. And when I'm suffering, I don't want to bring someone else into that fold. But I realize that that's how you create intimacy. Mm-hmm. So some of my relationships are like, well, why don't you call me into that space?
Also accountability.
Yes. But also I point out that most of these relationships that feel like they are suffering are also one-sided relationships where I have played a role of strength and haven't exposed myself a lot because I'm not asked. I'm not asked like, hey, Zuri, how are you? And that's part of just being a coach. That's part of the identity I had as a child. That's the part of the way that I identify as a strong, healthy, you know, you're empowering person that's a healer and a caregiver. And those things can get in the way of you actually embracing parts of yourself and actually having relationships where it's safe to do a trust fall.
The good old trust fall.
How many people in your life, this is the question for the day, mm-hmm. how many people in your life can you rely on for a trust fall? And I know trust falls are super cheesy, like corporate things that they do at retreats. And you're like, they've been, you know, kind of stereotypically made fun of, right? Mm-hmm. But like a trust fall in the sense that if you were falling apart, you were breaking down, could you trust 1 to 5 people in your immediate circle that would be there to help you get to the other side of it?
Are you talking about me?
It's a question of the week for our pod fam, but yes, I would like you to answer and I will answer as well.
I would say I have, I'd say maybe 2 solids, you and Zarel, and maybe a third, who knows? It kind of all depends on the time that I'm calling. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'll say no more, but timing is everything. But you know, I'm not talking about the physical trust fall. I'm talking about the emotional trust fall.
Yeah.
The real trust fall that we're talking about.
Yeah. So the question is, do you have someone that you could break down to and break through with? And, you know, maybe that's your therapist. Maybe that's your, you know, sister, brother,
your
best friend. Maybe that's your dog. I mean, the truth is that a lot of what we're looking for already lives within us. Mm-hmm. It's already part of our higher self. A lot of times that isn't why I've been like, cause I'm like, oh no, this is good song material. I'm not going to waste it on a phone call. But you can see how a friend might feel like you're depriving them of closeness with you. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that. And I was like, oh, well, it's also because I don't want to expose myself as having this part of me that is not perfect. And that's something that I'm going to be healing, and it's a journey. It's a journey, y'all.
Well, I'm going to agree with you in regards to, you know, you tend to be a perfectionist, but in it stings in 2 ways. Mm-hmm. The first is what you just experienced, right? A lot of people will come to you because you always seem to have it together, despite the fact that you are just like everyone else. You have your ups and downs, but you have a very unique way of showing up for someone. And a lot of people in your life don't have the ability you have. So it's also a trust issue, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't want to reveal yourself and to someone who, you know, you've helped them through whatever, knowing that if you reveal, they may not have the emotional security or the emotional intelligence
or bandwidth
to listen. Exactly. They may come off as too judgmental, which is a trigger for you. They may try to, you know, limit or, you know, disregard what you're going, which is a trigger for you. So yes,
I think it's not judgment. For me, it's diminishing. Mm-hmm. Like if you say to somebody, this is what I'm going through, and then they don't see that and hear that, they then decide, oh, actually, it's probably this thing. Yeah. So it's kind of like gaslighting. It's a very mild form of gaslighting.
Exactly.
Definitely listen to that episode because I think all of us are guilty of gaslighting. But in the sense of trust, you really need, if somebody's saying, this is what's going on, you need to really hear them. And then if there's space, you can offer a suggestion. But a lot of times people will come up with the answer if they just let it out. Mm-hmm. And often I don't feel the need to go to someone other than a coach or a therapist to have those discussions. And that creates a void, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, my point is that when you are trying to break through, however you need to do it is good. Just make sure you do it with someone safe. Like when Mike fell apart or broke down, whatever language you want to use, mm-hmm. when he had his tragic moment, he did it in front of me. And I was trusting enough to hold him through that.
Correct.
And here's the thing. It could have totally backfired because I could have been in a space where I would have been maybe too wrapped up in my own stuff to be able to be there. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like you just have to figure out if someone is having a breakdown and you can't be that person, then, you know, like remove yourself.
Like there's when you're on the receiving end. Right. And we've all been in situations where we've been on the receiving end. Someone's breaking down in front of you that you totally love. There's two things that I would suggest, right? My checklist is too strong, right? Mm-hmm. The first one is listen. Mm-hmm. The second one is hug. That's it.
Yeah.
If you could have someone there to listen to you, non-judgmental, just listen mm-hmm. to you rant. And give you a hug, give that physical contact, mm-hmm, which you gave me.
To ground and, you know, maybe it's a handhold, whatever seems appropriate for your situation. But that does make a big difference if you feel grounded back in your body mm-hmm. and held, because all of us need to be soothed. And if you aren't able to self-soothe in a healthy way, don't get me wrong. We're going to talk about soothing next, but
soothing's all good.
If you are in a place where your trusting partner can be soothing, it really makes a tremendous difference. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're not going to be there. And the perfectionist maybe in you might want them to always show up like, and have the perfect thing to say. And that's not anyone's job, really. Mm-hmm. It's nobody's responsibility to heal you. It's your responsibility to heal yourself and to find things that are healthy ways to soothe. So let's talk about soothing.
Let's get into soothing. Prior to that, I want to say one thing.
Okay.
That when there is that kind of impending breakdown, you know what's happening, right? Your word choices, your actions, they're all pointing toward one direction, mm-hmm. right? And that's either in the downward spiral or you know, breaking down. Just know that breaking down isn't a bad thing. It's actually a really positive thing. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of people won't do it in a positive way.
Right.
Right. You have to sometimes allow yourself to break down in order to shed parts of you that no longer serve you.
And as we talked last week with the masks that we wear, the good girl and the strong guy, breaking down and crying is not what the good girl and the strong boy mm-hmm. are programmed to believe mm-hmm. is good and healthy. Mm-hmm. But when you remember that we are all humans on this journey and at a really crazy time in society, we absolutely need to break down.
Yes.
We need to, and let's talk about breaking down real quick and then we'll go to self-soothing. But breakdown just means simply uncovering whatever is happening and really being self-aware that like, okay, there's something not being heard. Mm-hmm. There's a voice or an urge or a need not being tended to, and you're out of balance and the emotions will either take over you or, you know, you will talk some about other people's versions of breaking down. But like breaking down could be as simple as crying in the shower mm-hmm. after a hard day at work. It could be like Dane Cook comes home and like you don't even make it to the couch with like, I did my best. Mm-hmm. I did my best. And you just cry and let out all of the, you know, guttural sadness in you. Mm-hmm. Or it could be like Mikey's experience, which he's going to tell us about. And then he talked about last week some. So whatever breakdown looks like for you, breaking down just means uncovering your shadows, uncovering what's bothering you, uncovering your imbalances, you know, uncovering your wounds, maybe your big fat wound, the wound that's causing all of the problems that mm-hmm. has caused all the problems since you were a kid. That is maybe giving you false beliefs and is maybe giving you a false sense of self, you know, like stuff that needs to be uncovered. You got to dig that shit up and do the work.
Indeed. And when I think of breakdowns, I think of two people, right? Your higher self and your conscious, your lower self, right? Mm-hmm. So we did a whole show last week on, you know, shadow work. And if you are consistently doing your shadow work, right? If that's kind of a standard process, what it is, you're having a conversation with your higher self, and your higher self is always leading you in the path that you need to go. Mm-hmm. When you ignore that work, right? And you gun it and you gun it, and you know, you're caffeinated and you're gunning it. What happens is your higher self is telling you, hey, you know, we want you to do this, we want you to do that, and you're ignoring. And you get to a point where your higher self makes an executive decision. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know what? If you're not going to, say, lose weight or switch your lifestyle, mm-hmm. I'm going to hit you on the head with a heart attack.
Or a disease.
Or a
sore back. I mean, like, you will get notified.
Exactly. You'll get notified. And
management will knock on the door.
and it will be drastic enough that it will start to crumble your foundation of, like, you know, what's normal. Mm-hmm. And that crumbling of the foundation, mm-hmm. that is the breakdown. Mm-hmm. That is you removing parts of you that are no longer serving you, mm-hmm. not purposely, mm-hmm. but by your higher self. And your higher self is like, okay, now I'm going to make this happen. Mm-hmm. So I went through my own breakthrough, right? And my own breakthrough was a series of me not paying attention to my shadow. Right. Mm-hmm. And I got to a point where I was exhausted. I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't doing the things that I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Out of habit is a thing.
Yeah. And then, you know, I was open for, not open for an enrollment.
I was open for attacks.
I was open for annoyance. Mm-hmm. Like anything annoyed me. I was like, oh, I'm good to go. Like, come at me with, you know, something dumb and I'm going to turn it into something big. Right. So that's what happened, you know? And, you know, as we go through the show and, you know, with our game, we're going to really highlight some of these things. But the point is that, like what you said earlier, the key to a successful breakdown is the transmutation, mm-hmm. right? So I received that. I was in a spot and you know, you asked me a few questions. I asked myself a few questions. But the biggest question is, what is the medicine? Mm-hmm. Why am I here? And the minute that I started asking that, then my breakdown became a breakthrough. And mm-hmm. I've had excellent sleep ever since.
Yeah, because you uncovered the shadow, hugged the shadow. Like, hey, okay, I see where you are hurt. Mm-hmm. Let me put a Band-Aid on that. And let's also heal it so mm-hmm. it doesn't continue to come about. One other thing I want to say is that when you are really at your low, you know, there's these phrases about like you, dark night of the soul. People talk about that yep. a lot. Mm-hmm. When you know, hit rock bottom, they say, and like, oh, you know, your back's against the wall. Mm-hmm. All of these analogies and these different terms that people use to discuss like a breakdown, mm-hmm. you know? Like, it's just all basically things that you are going through to uncover something to become a better version of you. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just, like I said, something small, like a more aware version. Mm-hmm. And your perspective shift has to look at it and say, that had to happen so that I could be this version.
It's exactly, it's perspective. So you have, when you're in that space, that negative space, right, you're feeling it, it's happening, you can ask yourself one of two questions. Am I having a breakdown or am I having a breakthrough?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're one and the same,
mm-hmm.
right? It's like yin and yang. One is right after the other or right before the other. That they're it's you know, it's like a 1-2 punch, mm-hmm. right? The first one hits you, the second one hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Dependent on whether or not you use what you said, perspective.
Yeah. And mostly at the bottom. So let's say I've been at the bottom before in many different ways. And what I can say is that at the end of whatever, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's a record deal, maybe for you, it's, you know, the end of a career or it's the end of
relationship,
a Netflix series that you're binging.
Something.
At the end, when you're feeling the space, what you are really feeling is a grief experience.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked a lot about that on our show.
Mm-hmm.
You can listen to all three episodes called Good Grief. But at the end, what you need to make sure, what is paramount for all breakdowns, is that you will never lose love for yourself if you rely on yourself for the love that you have in your life.
Mm.
At the end, your self-love is all that matters. If you can make a breakdown into a dependency because your self-soothing is not going to work if you hate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way to heal a wound of self-hate with soothing. Like, you can't soothe that. That's
mm-hmm.
So until you heal that shadow mm-hmm. where you're like not liking yourself, which is a part of perfectionism,
mm-hmm.
which is part of why I have to heal that, is like, I am okay even if I am not achieving, because I am looking for love from, I'm looking for love in all the wrong places.
All wrong places.
Okay. And looking for love from yourself. Once I really understood that, and a lot of it came from like doing the Dickens process
mm-hmm.
with at a Tony Robbins event.
Mm-hmm.
But like it is similar to what we're talking about. Like, you break down, you go down to the dungeon, you figure out what's there, and you figure out if you want to carry that into your life.
That
in
was,
the future.
That's kind of what I went through. It was a Dickens
I know.
Process.
And here's the thing. I've done lots of Dickens process, not only with Tony Robbins, but different coaches. Dickens process. You're smirking. I see it. I hear you.
You got bell bottoms. What can I say?
Okay. Roll it back. So lots of processes with either coaches or transformational events like that, immersion events,
mm-hmm.
You know, meditations, like your breakdown experience to find out what is holding you back is necessary
mm-hmm.
because if you don't, like I said, love thyself, you really have nothing to lose. We're all going to die. Like,
yes. At some point,
your relationship with that child inside is so important. And you will never feel satisfaction by looking outside yourself to have someone love you in the way that you maybe don't love yourself. Meaning, if you don't love yourself, nobody can soothe it. Nobody can soothe that.
Nobody.
No drug, no person, no sex, no. We look at all of the soothing ways. So let's talk about it. So some soothing ways would be alcohol dependency. It would be shopping. So anytime that we're all being advertised to so much, right?
All day long.
If you look at the things actually in the US that are the money makers, those are the things that we are dependent on for soothing.
Well, there's
so there's pharmaceuticals.
Yeah,
there's alcohol. There's things, the American things. I got to have more things to fill the hole, to soothe the wound. And there's food, I mean, so there these dependencies and these ways to soothe, there are healthier ways to soothe. And it really starts with soothing the relationship with the self.
And it also kind of depends on how you use whatever you use to soothe, right? So if you're soothing to heal, right? Let's say you have a gnarly bad day and you're like, you know what? I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to watch this, you know, geeky sci-fi show. And then I'm going to get to work. That's soothing to heal. It'll relax your nervous system just enough so that you can think clearly and solve your way through it.
Yeah.
There's also, but if you use soothing as a form of distraction, that's where you're going to have issues.
Right.
If instead of watching one show, you binge the whole series and a full day has gone by and you haven't done anything for yourself, you know, to fill up your cup, to self-love, then what you're doing is you're just kind of prolonging whatever pain.
The suffering process.
Into the next day, and then, you know, when that Netflix isn't there, then it's alcohol or it's something else that's
right.
That can lead to a real tragic moment. Not a terrifically tragic moment, but a real tragic moment.
Yeah, and there are... If you listen back to our episodes, because today is more of a conversation, you'll notice that in every show, we talk about things you can do to soothe, to self-soothe. Mm-hmm. We talk about gratitude, which is a positive way to self-soothe. You know, you can either look at the problem or you can look at everything that is not the problem that is going really fucking great in your life. Mm-hmm. You can look at it and you can say, wow. Like, this is probably where my focus should be, because where focus goes, energy flows. And your energy shouldn't be just given away to energy vampires, right?
Exactly.
So look at things that you can do to self-soothe that are positive. And like I said, we talk about it in every show.
So, yeah, you know, we've done how many shows about changing your state, right?
Right.
So moving your body, there's sex, there's walking, there's...
All of our free yoga. Medicine, we talk about, yeah, movement, sound, get in nature. We talk about just basically all of the things that we have found as sober individuals who are not dependent on things like, you know, watching TV all day long.
We realize that the true medicine is in the pain. It is truly
it
in
really
the pain.
Really is.
So, you know, dousing it with alcohol or drugs will just make it worse. Mm-hmm. But getting through it with self-love and some positive soothing, that's the way to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we also have the episode about crying medicine. And, you know, crying can feel like a workout at the gym, because it actually is. There's a reason why we were given the ability to cry. And I know when you were crying, you probably feel better afterwards.
I was crying buckets.
The benefits
it was a good cry.
Of crying are many. Listen back to our crying episode, because we need to normalize some of these things that are healthy ways to self-soothe versus what is being programmed into us on a regular basis in society, which is you need a pill to feel better. You need a drug to feel better. Mm-hmm. Those are dependencies. And at the end of it, if any one of those things gets ripped away from you, which by the way, they probably will, because there's a very loud person inside of you that will find a way to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Always.
And that can be maybe an untended shadow or wound that will always get attention. It'll be a squeaky wheel in your life no matter what.
It'll tap you on the shoulder with a bankruptcy, a disease, a breakup, a bad fall, a series of bad decisions. You have to do the work always. Mm-hmm. And part of that work is self-soothing.
And I would just say that it's super important to also prioritize fun. That's part of the balance. Mm-hmm. Like nobody in this room is saying you have to suffer because we believe suffering is for suckers, right?
It's all day long.
So in saying you have to do the work, it is going to be work. There's a reason why they call it work.
You gotta put on your work boots.
But you also get to put on your dancing boots, and you also get to go and experience life. Like, my favorite way to self-soothe is to dance. Instantly, I feel better. Instantly. You like biking.
Or running.
Or hiking. Like, my other favorite way to self-soothe is to get in nature. And then instantly, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm just like a small little part of this ecosystem that is totally going to move forward, or, you know, like change with or without my problem being solved. You mm-hmm. know, like, you kind of let go and you're kind of like, okay, let me see this in a different perspective. Or a bird flies by and then you start thinking about eagle vision, mm-hmm. you know, or you see a chipmunk and then you start thinking about mouse vision. We've talked a lot about like just your perspective shift. Mm-hmm. Can be done by healthy self-soothing. So let's talk real quick about how modeling works when you are conscious parenting. You are obviously just living your life and modeling how to have healthy relationships, how to help, you know, how to soothe health in a healthy way. Mm-hmm. And let's share a little bit about what happened with Zarel last week, which is our daughter, about her experience.
Yeah, now that I'm on the other side, I'm on the breakthrough side, it is hilarious. Yeah. It is hilarious.
But yeah.
During the breakdown, it was not fun.
No, and it's good she wasn't here because...
For that, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So... Go ahead and share with us about that.
Here's what happens when you are in an empowered relationship. Those attributes trickle down to your children. So as I was going through it, you know, I had a really rough day, and we were able to kind of get through it. Luckily, by the time we picked up our daughter, and I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm being very honest with her so that there's no guesswork. There's no what's going on. I don't want to create shadows in her mind.
Yeah, kids are all about energy. They know instantly if the vibe is off. Yeah. They're the best vibe checkers because that's where they operate from. They haven't been conditioned enough to just like ignore people's, you know, triggers or tendencies or behaviors. Like, they sense energy so quick, even right out the womb.
Exactly. And like I said, I didn't want to create a shadow in her mind by showing her that she wasn't trustworthy enough to get that other side of me. So I exposed myself. And here was the funny thing, right?
Or having her internalize it, which is what normally
girls
would
do. Yeah.
Anyone, mm-hmm. Children will just see like something's wrong. It's my fault.
And I'm bringing this up because, you know, the humor about this. And I was like, you know, word for word, I was sitting on the couch and my daughter standing up, and I was like, you know, I had kind of a rough day. I had a, you know, full breakdown, and I needed that in order to break through. And then she looked at me and she kind of, you know, she wanted to diffuse the situation with a little humor. And she's like, oh, so what, did you like rip off your shirt and scream out to the world? And I looked at her in bewilderment. I looked at Zuri, and Zuri's like, I didn't say anything. And then my daughter's like, wait, did you really rip off your shirt, Dad? I'm like, yes, I ripped it off, like shredded. And I later showed, you know, it was an old, you know,
tank top.
That was
also known as a wife beater.
Anyways, so I ripped it off, and it was decrepit. You know, it was one of those things I should have threw
that
it out long ago.
That should have been donated, not dumped.
Exactly. But, you know, I just held on to it, and I was wearing it, and I ripped it off. And it looks like a rag now, and it was a rag, but now it looks like a full rag.
But anyway, what did she do?
She laughed, and then instinctively, because she is part of us, so we are all in an empowered family, she sat down, and she properly gave me love. It was like I was weeping. She sat down. She held me. She said, everything's going to be okay. She acted as if she were the adult, which in my opinion is like she's kind of primed for the world, right? Mm-hmm. So when you are doing your shadow work, let your family in on it.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. But you have to be careful so that your family isn't, you know, tossing on the extra matches or mm-hmm. the extra fuel. Mm-hmm. So maybe it might be one of those things where afterwards you relay to them what was going on. Mm-hmm. But if you just so happen to have developed that relationship with your kid or your wife, and there is an empowerment and they can witness when you're going through something, then
and not rescue you, but allow you to go through it in a safe way.
Correct.
And then, you know, be there for you when you're on the other side of it with a hug and like, okay, I'm happy you went through that. I'm glad you're on the other side. Welcome. Mm-hmm. Welcome back, or welcome new version of you. Oftentimes it is a new version of you.
Correct.
And a powerful practice is to name that version of you.
Yes. So this new version of me, I haven't got a good name for it yet. I gotta come up with something spectacular.
TBC, to be continued.
To be continued. I feel like there are so many analogies that are showing us mm-hmm. that the breaking down process is beneficial, mm-hmm. right? You have the analogy of the seed kind mm-hmm. of, you know, breaking down and
breaking
and
open,
breaking to, open. And in order yeah. to do that, you gotta, you know, you gotta shove it in dirt, you know, in the darkness. And, you know, you have the cocoon where mm-hmm. you have the caterpillar who literally dies and then is reborn.
Mm, right? Let the caterpillar die so I can be a butterfly.
Exactly. And then you have the not so natural. But,
or the phoenix.
But
or...
even more noticeable, which mm-hmm. are your celebrity breakdowns.
Yes, right? Yes.
Which leads us
to our game. We are going to share some what the fooks about celebrity breakdowns. And I would just say that the point of sharing this is so that we can normalize the fact that every one of us is imperfectly perfect humans that go through tough times. The only difference is, as a celebrity, you don't have the luxury of only posting the highlight reel to social media.
Exactly. I had a nice breakdown and it was, you know, in the privacy of our trees.
With somebody that loves and, you know, loves you unconditionally, meaning there is nothing that you can do to make me stop loving you. I may choose, if you did something really horrific, to stop being in proximity and relationship with you, but I would never stop loving you because I love you unconditionally. That's what unconditional love means. Mm-hmm. The same is true is that there's nothing that you could do that would make me love you more. I won't love you less and I won't love you more. Unconditional love means no matter fucking what, I love you.
Well, I'm going to make you love me more. Watch.
Challenge accepted. But that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, yes, I fall in love with you more and more and it grows bigger, but you can't change that. My unconditional love means that through good or bad, I love you. Same
sickness
with the way
health.
That you do this with your children. Mm-hmm. But I digress. You lead us in this game.
All right. Well, we came across a wonderful little blog that highlighted a good number of the celebrity breakdowns that we've seen in the last, you know, 2 or 3 decades. Mm-hmm. So from this list, we removed those individuals who, during their breakdown, decided to go for the racial slur. you know, I was like, no, we don't need to celebrate that.
Here's the thing, too, is that there are many celebrities that broke down and, you know, are no longer with us because they didn't break through.
They broke apart.
Yeah, they broke apart. You know, they're gone. Or they broke down and their breakdown was detrimental to their career or to their life or to their loved ones. And we want to just highlight that, like, breaking down and then breaking through is the goal.
And that's it. And again, it highlights the importance of having people in your corner mm-hmm. who will allow you to break down, who will give you the list, the ear, the hug, and
pay attention to that
list,
circle, yo.
And this list, I'm pretty certain that the individuals who made this list probably didn't have that in the beginning. Maybe afterwards, but during the process, What they had was a camera.
They had a there was a camera, and there was maybe an energy vampire, or there was some negative entity that made the breakdown very tragic.
Correct. Okay, so the first on this list is Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
we all know and love him.
Yes.
So this article basically stated that he went through a myriad of drugs and that whole bit, and he was on a set with a film that Jodie Foster was directing, and she caught him basically doing coke, and you know, was like, you know, you need to kind of work on your stuff, and he didn't, and he went home for the holidays, and ended up passing out in his neighbor's house, right? And when he woke up, of course, you know, he was heavily drugged, and he spent time in a state prison, and then over a year in rehab. And, you know, he relapsed, you know, a couple times. The spiral continued. And the positive thing is that once he had sobered up and he kind of aligned himself with Hollywood, his career literally skyrocketed.
Right? Yeah.
And we all know him from, you know, of course, the Avengers franchise. He allowed a lot of people, his ascension allowed a lot of people, or gave a lot of people enjoyment.
Right.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah. I mean, he could have just broken down and not broken through. And I'm sure if he was on the show today, there would be a great breakdown and breakthrough story. And the point is, here's the thing. This is not an Access Hollywood show. We are not poking fun at these people. We are empowering you to realize that these people were just caught on camera. If Mike was caught on camera, you would have
on YouTube, million views.
I mean, it would be a sensation, right? But because we are not in celebrity status in that way that paparazzi are hiding in our bushes, thank God, that the tragic moment wasn't witnessed by millions.
By millions, indeed. All right, next on the list is Mariah Carey. All right, the article stated that her meltdown was promoting a dead-on arrival movie called Glitter. And she showed up on the set of MTV's TRL to promote her film.
Yeah, I remember this.
And by the time her visit was over, she had made headlines for all the wrong reasons. She then checked herself into a rehab for exhaustion. And you know, she was muttering like something about rainbows. She started stripping off her clothes. She passed out popsicles to, all the people in the audience. So she just kind of lost her cookies, right? On air. And then afterwards, she went back in the studio and produced a bomb ass CD. Like again, like you said, the Phoenix, that process allowed her to become something bigger. Unfortunately, it was caught on camera.
Or fortunately, that it gave her enough leverage to say, wow, I never want to be at rock bottom again. I better make sure that my circle and my habits and my healthy soothing is really intact.
Yes, indeed. The next is Winona Ryder, who basically got caught stealing $5,500 worth of high-end goods from you know, Saks Avenue. Like she's a superstar. Why do you need to steal?
This we know this whole
she had
conversation is like, it's not about what, you know, stealing. It's just about soothing. It's just like, we have seen so many celebrities go through this thing publicly where they are mumbling, or I'm sure you're probably going to talk about Britney, right?
Britney's on the list. Okay.
But if you don't have healthy people around you protecting you, if you don't have healthy boundaries, people, even you too can end up in a situation where you get taken advantage of.
And the brighter you burn, the more energy vampires you're, it's like the moss, the flame, right?
Yep.
So the bigger you are, the more people are going to want to jump in there and get their hands on there. So yeah, getting to Britney, I mean, we all saw her, you know, with the shaved head and, you know, the conservatorship and all the trials and tribulations that poor woman went through. And now apparently she has made a 100% comeback and she's mm-hmm. doing music again. She looks healthy. She looks happy. Mm-hmm. And
she's still crazy Britney.
She's still crazy Britney. But, you know, the fact that she sprung out of that, mm-hmm. all of that, is testimony that you can get through anything. Like, most of us aren't going to, you know, shave our head and have a bunch of people, you know, come in and seek conservatorship for us. It might be this, you know, you watching me cry, or like David Hasselhoff's daughter taping him, you know, when he's having a bad time and putting it on YouTube.
It's like, exactly. The thing is that if you have people around you that recognize your call for help, whether it's shaving your head or ripping your shirt off in the rain, like Mikey, you can say like, oh, he's letting me know things are really out of balance for him. And my job as the witness of this is to say, okay, let's rebalance. Let's get you to the other side of this. Let's get you to your breakthrough moment. Mm-hmm. And you've had it. And now you're on the other side of it. And, you know.
And I didn't have to shave my head.
Thank God. But like with Britney, if we look at that, like just look at that. And I know we're playing a game, but like if we just look at that, you know, if you don't have healthy people around you, you're always subjective to who the people are closest to you. So you mm-hmm. really have to make sure that your circle is tight. And these long-standing relationships, if you haven't grown together, meaning you both are doing the work, you likely are going to outgrow some of these relationships that no longer serve the version of you. Because when you do these breakdown processes, you come out a different version. Dickens or whatever process you go through to really uncover what's there. Some people do like past life, you know, regression. Mm-hmm. Some people do like heavy therapy. Some people do immersion. Some people do like
cranial sacral,
or they go to like, you know, a monastery and not talk, you know, like you might eat, pray, love it. Like whatever your journey is to heal and to self-soothe and to find the breakdown moment so you can break through is beautiful and mm-hmm. embrace it. And I will just say, the reason why we know about these things with these celebrities is, yes, they didn't have good, healthy people around them. And they didn't get the help that they needed ahead of their breakdown, mm-hmm. their publicly tragic moment. Mm-hmm. I would say, too, that as society, rather than deal with our own shit, we love to watch someone else fall apart.
I will say, I didn't watch the Academy Awards when Will Smith had his. I didn't watch the show. What I did watch were the highlights.
Yeah, of course.
Over
everybody
and
did.
Over and over again. And it's interesting that a lot of people want, like what you said, they want to see people break down.
They want to see a rise. They want to see a fall. Mm-hmm. They love to see people fall.
It's the comeback. Yeah.
And here's the thing. People also love a comeback.
Yeah.
But what you don't know about a person, because maybe they aren't a celebrity, what you don't know about a person is that I will guarantee you that everyone is dealing with a shadow. Every single one of us.
Yes.
And every single one of us has a choice. We can deal with our inner wounds, demons, shadows, or we can soothe them until they get so unsoothable that they become a fucking monster. Mm-hmm. And that monster then becomes you. Mm-hmm. And like, it's up to you. And we want to empower you to always, 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 you are worth it. Do the work. Find people who also know it's important to do the work. Keep yourself insulated with healthy people. Set boundaries. Make sure you can trust two or three people for your trust fall.
Indeed. And if needed, if you need to just spend a day at the beach or in the woods or somewhere where you can just gather your thoughts, do it. That's if that's the self-love that you need, take it.
Yep. Your hero's journey is awaiting you. Mm-hmm. It's awaiting your breakthrough. And we are sending you the highest vibrations.
You are held.
You are loved.
We hope this episode provided you with value, and we'd love to hear your feedback with a review, comment on social, or send us an email to hello@empowermentcouplepodcast.com.
Each show is brought to you by our healthy lifestyle courses that aim to help you live a beautiful, healthy life. Use code PODFAM and the links in our show notes to save on our courses. You'll also find our affiliates listed in our show notes, where we offer exclusive discounts on our favorite products that will improve your life and well-being.
By supporting us with course purchases and affiliate link purchases, you keep this podcast going and ad-free.
Ad-free, baby. If you missed something in this episode, each podcast has a show blog that is linked in the show notes.
Thanks for listening.
And allowing us to live our purpose and serve you.
Love.
Love.
I have a question for you. What would you call my style?
Today?
No, just in general. Oh. Not today.
I don't know. You have you're like kind of swank daddy.
I would consider my style Ken doll. I basically just get dressed by you guys.
That's
you and
true.
Zarell. It's like, Daddy, what are you wearing? I guess not this. what are you wearing? Some Ken doll stuff.
It definitely changes when you don't live in California, though.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I'm not going to get dressed. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I am always going to get dressed. I am always going to be like over the top, mm-hmm. because that's just who I am. I know no other way to be.
Yeah, my current style is anti-tick. Because you go outside and just ticks and jump on you. Gotta tuck in my socks and wear white and spray stuff all over me.
Thing. But anyway, I hope that I'm still bringing whatever version of my fashion sense into that era. I think women, we kind of tend to give up and start like playing smaller and smaller and smaller. And I want to be like, you remember what's her name that drove like the pink Corvette and wore the pink outfits? And you would see her driving around all the time.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
I want to be like that. I want to mm-hmm. be, people are like, that's so extra. And I'm like, yes, it, mm-hmm. go find less because I am extra as F.
Ah, okay. Don't wave me off.
We're good.
Honey. One last thing. Okay? I love you.
Okay, bye.